On today's episode of Soul 02, we're going to be talking about when giving up is a good thing and the power of surrender on Soul 02. And welcome to Soul 02. This is the podcast that is putting the oxygen back into the Christian life one soul at a time. And today we're going to be talking about the power of surrender when giving up is a good thing. And as we just begin this talk, this is something that in my own life, my whole life, I have served God since I was 13. I've been a Christian since I was 13, and it's not an easy road. It's a hard road, especially the longer you serve God. It's easier to compromise. It's easier just to, you know, say, well, you know, I gave my life to Christ so many years ago, so I'm all set. However, there's a process that God puts us through in surrender, and it's bound into sanctification. And Nancy Lee DeMoss and Jim Cimbala told the story, which I knew the story, but they kind of frame it their own way, and books were written about it. But on March 10th, 1974, almost 30 years after the end of World War II, Lieutenant Hiro Onoda finally handed over his rusty sword and became the last Japanese soldier to surrender. Onoda had been sent to the tropical island of Lubang in the Philippines in 1944 with orders to conduct guerrilla warfare and prevent enemy attack on the island. When the war ended, Onoda refused to believe that the messengers, or that rather the messages announcing Japan's surrender were true. For 29 years, think about this, long after all of his fellow soldiers had either surrendered or been killed, Onoda continued defending the island territory for the defeated Japanese army. He hid in the jungle, living off the land, stealing food and supplies from local citizens, evading one search party after another, and killing at least 30 nationals in the process. Hundreds of thousands of dollars were spent in trying to locate the lone holdout and convince him that the war was over. Leaflets, newspapers, photographs, and letters from friends were dropped in the jungle. Announcements were made over loudspeakers begging Onoda to surrender. Still, he refused to give up his fight. Some 13,000 men had been deployed in the effort before Onoda finally received a personal command from his former commander and was persuaded to give up this futile solitary war he had waged for so many years. Now, I read that just to say this, that this reminds me of how strong and how stubborn the human will can be. The human will can be a very stubborn thing, can it? And this is why when we come to Christ, the very first thing that has to happen is that there has to be a surrender. Being saved is not just praying that God saves your soul so that you won't go to hell, or that, you know, he rescues you so that you'll go to heaven. But being saved requires that you give everything you have back to God, that you belong to God. It's a change of ownership. So why is surrender so important? Number one, because it's the only way to reach our full potential in God. Think about this for a second, that for a hammer to be useful, it must be fully surrendered to the hand that wields it. What if the hammer had a will of its own and said, well, I don't want to really pound nails in. I just want to pull nails, and I want to use the stubby end, my stubby end to push in tacks. That's all I want to do. Well, you'd never get anything done if tools had their own will. In the same way, custom spirituality never works. When I try to go to God on my terms, when I try to negotiate with God or make a bargain with God, that never works. That's why nothing less than complete surrender is accepted by God. That's why he talks about in Romans 12, 1 and 2 about being a living sacrifice, that he doesn't just own my sins. Because sometimes we think, well, you know, I'll just surrender the hard parts of my life, the parts I don't want. No, no. He wants my heart. He wants the most intimate part of my being, because if he knows that if he has my heart, then he has all of me. But here's the second thing. Why surrender? It's the only way to receive all that God has for us. And it says it well in 2 Corinthians 9:8, the words of Paul. It says, and God is able to make all grace overflow to you so that because you have so that because you have enough of everything in every way at all times, you will overflow in every good work. I mean, that sounds amazing. That sounds like this is the deal we all want. However, why do we fail to attain these things as Christians? Because it could very well be we've never really surrendered, or we've only given half our heart to God, or tried to give half our heart, which that doesn't work anyway. But surrender is the reason why we don't enter into our fullness. But here's number three, why surrender? My way hasn't worked. And I haven't spent a whole lot of time, you know, saying, how do I illustrate that? I think we all get that idea. You know, how's it working out for you? Your life without God, your life your own way, it never works. Because God is the only one who can put the blessing on your life and prosper you and give you grace to live. So there are some hindrances to surrender, and I like to talk about those. I only gave you three, but I know there's more. There's some great stuff out there on surrender that, you know, like Andrew Murray and people wrote some great stuff on surrender. But one of the main things of surrender that, from my own experience, from what I see, is always this fear of the cost. What's it going to cost me? When people come to Christ, they don't think about the cost. And Jesus specifically said, make sure you count the cost. And someone might think, well, what if I give up my drinking? What if I give up my drugs? What if I give up women? What if I give up, you know, this bad habit I have? What will I do about the gnawing emptiness that tugs at me? What if I stop that habit that I know is sin? The thing that I do is wrong. How will I de-stress? And so often we think about these things and we're like, I don't know if I'm ready to give that up yet. But yet our soul depends on it. Because unless God can command me, unless he can own me, how can he save me? Think about it. Our salvation is at stake here. And so, but hindrance number two, number one is fear of cost. Here's number two, worship of the individual. And this is more so in Western countries than in other parts of the world. I've been to other parts of the world like Asia and Ukraine and all these places. And there's incredible commitment when you see people follow Jesus. Man, they're all in. But this individual thing is a Western idea. And Patrick Carroll and Dan Sanchez define individualism this way. Individualism is a philosophy that views people first and foremost as unique individuals rather than as members of a group. It emphasizes the importance of independence, individuality, and autonomy. And so, first, there's nothing wrong with the idea of, hey, I want to do something different. You know, I'm unique as a person. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about when individualism becomes all we live for, that we are the God of our own life kind of individual, you know? And some Christians think that maybe if I just surrender only the things that I don't like, then I've surrendered to God. Or if I just surrender my troubles to God, then, or anything that ails me, then I've surrendered to God. And that's really part of the individualism, because it makes faith all about me, not all about God. And faith has become commodified in the sense that it's become a thing. God has become a thing that we just utilize like consumers. And instead of him utilizing us and consuming us, we are the living sacrifice, remember? So number three, hindrance to surrender is commitment as a substitute to surrender. What do I mean by that? Commitment versus surrender. Romanian theologian Joseph Son talks about a change that took place in the 1950s and 60s. He came from Romania and lived in America because of persecution, and then he learned some things watching the culture of America. And he identified it as a shift from the call to surrender to the call to commitment. This happened in the 50s and 60s, he said. He claims that the difference between, the difference this way, he talked about it this way. Christian surrender means that a person lifts his or her hands and says to God, here I am, I surrender, you take over, I belong to you, everything that I have is yours, everything that I am is yours. That's basically surrender. But in America, he noticed, the country of the individual people, of individualism and that rugged, you know, me and now, this is the place of what he calls, nobody should command me. I belong only to myself and I can do whatever I want. A call to surrender simply doesn't go well with such people, he says. Therefore, the preachers who wanted results and wanted big numbers, they kind of gave into the temptation to soften the demand of the gospel that says you got to surrender all. And they reduced the cost to make the message more palatable. And they talked about commitment. They said, why don't you just commit your life to Christ? So what's the problem with that? You know, what if you, in your mind, you're hearing this and you say, well, I'm a committed Christian. What's the problem? Here's the problem. Commitment means I engage myself to do something, says Joseph. You or I promise to do something for you or for God, for that matter. But I remain myself. I remain the commander of my own life. I still have my sword like the Japanese lieutenant. And I can keep the promise or not. And we can speak of weaker or stronger commitments. But be it as strong as possible, it is still independent self that engages itself in a tentative purpose or promise rather. So I said all that to say this. Commitment leaves me in charge. That's the point. It leaves me in control. But surrender leaves God in control. And it's all about God then and all about what he requires of me. But we know that God never accepts half measures. If you read 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And I'm saying this in reference, you know, think about your soul. If you sow your soul and your will to God sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will reap generously. So what does surrender require as we close this out today? A couple things, and I could have done more, but I want to keep this kind of short. Surrender requires an empty vessel, empty of self-will, empty of our own desires, empty of our own dreams. I mean, it's okay to dream, but there comes a point where, like Abraham, we have to lay our dream at the altar and say, God, this belongs to you. And Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, so that the life I now live in the body, I live because of the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's a powerful scripture that is needed for today, because if you're really a follower of Jesus, then it is no longer you who's alive, but Christ living in you. That's surrender. It's the idea that, the way Paris Reed had put it once, it's like saying, okay, God, you know, first I'm the driver and I say, God, I want you to take over my life. But often what we do is we slip over to the passenger seat and say, okay, God, you can drive, but we want to tell him how to drive and what to do and where to go. And he says, if you really want to surrender, you got to take the keys and give them to God and pop the trunk, go on the trunk and jump in, close the door, and whisper from the peephole, okay, God, you're in charge, you go. That's surrender. That's the difference. Commitment always leaves me in charge, but surrender leaves God in charge. So we need an empty vessel, but we also need this. And this is vital. This is probably the most important thing today, because if you're like me, I'm the kind of person that feels stress when I feel like I have to surrender, because I feel like I have to produce something, that I have to pray harder, and I have to do things more, and do things harder, and just, you know, and... But you have to have faith that God is doing this, that he's the one behind this. But he's the one that's saying, I'm going to do the work through you and in you and for you so that you can prosper and grow and mature as my son and daughter. So our surrender will be imperfect, broken, and messed up if we think it's all on us. But if it's all on God, because he's the one doing it, if we really surrender, then God's the one in charge. Philippians 2:13 says, for the one bringing forth in you both the desire and the effort for the sake of goodness, or rather for the sake of good pleasure, is God. And you may have the version that says, it is God who wills to do in you and to work in you, right, of his good pleasure. What's the point? He's the one that's doing this. My job is to surrender to his work. So what does it look like after surrender? Well, the story ends with Onada, the Japanese lieutenant, that after he left and surrendered, he wrote an autobiography entitled No Surrender, My 30-year war. Onoda describes the moment, and again, this is from that book written by Nancy Lee DeMoss and Jim Cimbala. And he describes the moment that the reality hit him of what transpired, of it sank in, the reality of what happened, of what was true for that moment. He said, I felt like a fool. What had I been doing for all these years? For the first time, I really understood. This was the end. I pulled back the bolt of my rifle and unloaded the bullets. I eased off the pack that I always carried with me and laid the gun on top of it. I want you to see this picture as a metaphor of what God wants you and me to do in those areas of our lives where we haven't surrendered. We've been carrying this pack on us. We've been carrying a sword. We've been living by our instincts. And God is saying it's time to give it up. If you really belong to me, it's time to surrender your whole life to me. Not just the things that bother you, not just your troubles. Those are token surrenders. I want your heart. This is what God is saying. I want you to lay down that sword and give everything you have to me. So I want you to be encouraged today that God wants all of you. So if you like this podcast, please leave a comment or, recommend it to a friend. Check us out on YouTube. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We're on Buzzsprout and wherever you can get your podcast audibly. And so until next time, thanks so much for being with us. God bless.